Thank you, Catriona. Our next speaker is Sean Fair, and he's going to tell us about the dynamics of response to asynapsis and meiotic silencing in spermatocytes from Robertsonian translocation carriers.
Thank you, and I would like to thank the organizers of CSR for allowing me to speak about my research today. So to begin, Robertsonian translocations pose a problem in spermatogenesis in that they cause variable outcomes ranging from meiotic arrest and infertility to normal spermatogenesis and normal fertility. Their prevalence among the human population is about 0.2%, but among infertile individuals, this estimate raises to about 19%. Translocations also are known to cause aneuploidies, which can cause embryonic death and diseases such as Down syndrome, making them an interesting topic for research and reproduction. This diagram below represents three karyotypes wherein chromosomes are synapsing in meiotic prophase 1. Panel A represents a wild-type karyotype where two pairs of chromosomes synapse and transcription can occur. Panel B represents a homozygous translocation karyotype wherein the translocated chromosomes also synapse and transcription can occur. Panel C, however, represents a heterozygous translocation karyotype where a translocation trivalent is formed. And here you can see the translocated chromosome on the left and the wild-type chromosomes trying to synapse on the right. There are these P arms on the wild type chromosomes that are non-homologous to the translocated chromosome, which they're lost in the translocated chromosome and they're not homologous to each other. So for this reason, they cannot readily synapse. This causes an epigenetic response that silences the unsynapsed regions. And this, if this silencing spreads to genes that are essential to spermatogenesis, they can cause meiotic arrest. If there's variation in this asynapsis and in this silencing, this could help to explain why there's such a variation in spermatogenesis and translocation carriers. This silencing is termed meiotic silencing of unsynapsed chromatin, and it initiates in the Pachyton stage of meiotic prophase 1. The most classical example of meiotic silencing is in the X and Y chromosomes in spermatogenesis. In panel A, you can see the X and the Y, which have condensed in early prophase 1. Panel B represents the synapsis of the two chromosomes in the Pachyton stage of prophase. Homologous recognition, synapsis, and recombination is dependent on DNA double-strand breaks, and when these chromosomes synapse, the DNA double-strand breaks are repaired. However, in the X and Y chromosomes, there is a pseudo-autosomal region, which is a limited area of homology between the two chromosomes, which synapses in prophase 1, but the remainder of the X and the Y do not synapse and contain unrepaired DNA double-strand breaks. This elicits an epigenetic response wherein repressive histone marks gamma H2AX and H3.3 are enriched at the X and the Y chromosomes, silencing them in a compartment known as the sex body. Panel D shows that the sex body also excludes the X and Y chromosome from active marks such as histone 3 acetylated at lysine 9 and RNA polymerase 2 represented in red. To elaborate, gamma H2AX is enriched at the Pachyton stage and remains through diakinesis. Histone variant H3.3 replaces histone variants H3.1 and H3.2 in the mid-Pachyton stage and remains in the sex body throughout the remainder of meiosis as the X and Y chromosomes remain silenced. With this knowledge, we asked the broad question, why do Robertsonian translocations cause such a varied response in meiosis? To assess this, we asked, when during meiotic prophase does meiotic silencing of unsynapsed chromatin occur? And what proportion of translocation carrier spermatocytes have silencing of unsynapsed autosomal regions as compared to the sex body? We hypothesize that stable meiotic silencing of unsynapsed Robertsonian translocation trivalents occurs in a proportion of spermatocytes, resulting in a variation of outcomes in spermatogenesis. To test this hypothesis, we used mouse models heterozygous for one and three translocations. The single translocation carriers had a translocation of chromosomes 8 and 12, and three translocation carriers had translocations of chromosomes 1 and 3, 8 and 12, and 9 and 14. We first wanted to test if markers of meiotic silencing associated with unsynapsed regions. So we did immunofluorescence experiments on testes tissue spreads from our translocation carrier mice. And we used antibodies against gamma H2AX, H3.3, S31, H3K9AC, and RNA polymerase 2. Our expectations were that gamma H2AX and H3.3S31 would be enriched in unsynapsed regions, and H3K9AC and RNA polymerase 2 markers of transcriptional activation would be excluded from unsynapsed regions. We then had to verify if our H3.3 phosphorylated S31 antibody was associating with the sex body and translocation trivalents. This is because this antibody had not yet been used in spermatocytes, so we had to see if the enrichment that we were seeing were indeed sex body and associated with trivalents. So to do this, we did fluorescence in situ hybridization with chromosome paints for chromosome Y, 8, and 12. From here, we were able to determine what proportion of the spermatocytes showed meiotic silencing, and we counted at least 100 nuclei and recorded the localization of gamma H2AX and H3.3S31 to trivalents. I would like to mention that our staining for H3K9 acetylated and RNA polymerase 2 were inconclusive for the study because although these two marks are excluded from the sex body, they're also excluded from centromeric regions. And since Robertsonian translocations occur at centromeres, there cannot be a distinguishment between the centromeric exclusion and the exclusion for meiotic silencing. So what I can show you are in panel A, this shows a single translocation carrier spermatocyte in the Pakitin stage where the sex body and the unsynapsed region of the Robertsonian translocation trivalent are enriched in gamma H2AX. Panel B shows this same nucleus with a more simplified cartoon version to clearly show the enrichment of gamma H2AX at the sex body and the unsynapsed translocation. Panel C shows us a three translocation carrier spermatocyte which was stained with H3.3S31. Now this is a nucleus that's in metaphase 1 or anaphase 1, and the reason that it's not a Pakitin nucleus as we show with our gamma H2AX staining is because our antibody didn't work in the Pakitin stage as our gamma H2AX antibody did, but we were able to study this in the metaphase 1. And this shows us a high level of enrichment at the sex body of H3.3S31 and a proportion of spermatocytes showing H3.3S31 enrichment at centromeric regions, or at the trivalents. And panel D just shows the same nucleus simplified, showing the enrichment at the XY body and the centromeric regions of the translocation trivalent. Verification of H3.3S31 localization to trivalents using in situ hybridization is represented on this slide, with panel A showing another three translocation trivalent, showing the translocation structures here and the sex body here, and then verification with chromosome 8 and 12 paint, showing that this structure is indeed a translocation trivalent. Not pictured is the chromosome Y paint, which also showed us that these structures were indeed the sex body that are highly enriched in H3.3. So from here, we're able to count our nuclei, and gamma H2AX enrichment at translocation trivalents decreases across the Pakitin stage in spermatogenesis in single translocation carrier mice. So we counted 100 nuclei, and in the early Pakitin stage, we found that 74% of translocation trivalents were unsynapsed and enriched in gamma H2AX. By the late Pakitin stage, only 4% were enriched in gamma H2AX and unsynapsed. This tells us that if gamma H2AX is a marker for meiotic silencing unsynapsed chromatin in translocation trivalents, that a higher proportion of spermatocytes show this meiotic silencing at an earlier stage of spermatogenesis. Next, we counted 100 nuclei for wild type, single translocation carrier, and three translocation carrier spermatocytes with our H33S31 immunostainings. And what we found was that as the number of translocations increases, the number of spermatocytes with localization of H33S31 to the trivalence increases as well. So in the wild type nuclei, we found about 1% of the spermatocytes showing H33 autosomal enrichment. In single translocation carrier spermatocytes, we found about 12% with autosomal enrichment. And in three translocation carriers, we found about 31% with autosomal enrichment. So if indeed H33S31 is showing us meiotic silencing in translocation trivalence, then and these silenced genes are essential to spermatogenesis causing meiotic arrest, one could predict that a greater number of translocations will result in a greater number of spermatocytes experiencing meiotic arrest. To conclude, gamma H2AX associates with unsynapsed trivalence in 74% of early packets in spermatocytes. H33S31 associates with trivalence in about 12% of metaphase 1 spermatocytes in carriers of one translocation and 31% from carriers of three translocations. H3K9AC and RNA polymerase 2 immunostainings were inconclusive due to their exclusion from centromeric regions. To assess the initial questions asked, silencing occurs from the Pachyton stage throughout meiosis in a varied number of spermatocytes depending on the stage. And the amount of spermatocytes with silencing depends on the amount of translocation trivalence. A larger amount of translocation trivalence results in a larger proportion with meiotic silencing. I would like to thank my supervisor, Dr. Namova, and Dr. Takeda for her work on this project and the funding source to allow this research to take place. Thank you.
Great talk. I was just wondering, gamma H2X has been shown to be a biomarker for DNA double-strand breaks, but what exactly is the role of these sites of double-strand breaks? Are they strictly for gene silencing, or are they reparative?
The DNA double-strand breaks are required for homologous synapses in meiotic prophase. So when the homologous chromosome synapse, DNA double-strand breaks occur, homologous recognition happens, and then chromosome synapse. When the double-strand breaks are not repaired, it recruits DNA repair proteins, and these actually are what phosphorylate the H2AX to gamma H2AX and silence the region. So I hope that answers your question. All right.